Der er nok en chance for, at du ikke lige er ekspert i sundhedsforsikringer. Og helt ærligt, det behøver du heller ikke at være. Det er Forbrugerrådet Tænk nemlig. Og de har kåret Gensidig sundhedsforsikring som bedst i test. Det er tre små ord, som siger det hele. Ligesom når vi siger, tilliden er gensidig.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova Podcast.
Welcome to this very special edition of the program Aftenklubben, and the reason I speak English is because I'm visited by the very talented and very famous British singer and songwriter who have made hits like this. This is for sure a very special edition, and I'll try my best to speak English as well as I can, because I'm visited by the singer and songwriter who have made music together with Ed Sheeran and Clean Bandits and Sean Paul and a lot of other artists. And she has also made her own hits, Perfect to Me, Friends, and here, as we heard, 2002. And with that in mind, I would like to say welcome to you and good evening to you, Anne-Marie.
Good evening.
Let me start by just asking you, how are you?
I'm good. It's very sunny here. It's been sunny here today, so yeah. I feel happy.
You're very, very lucky because the last couple of months, I think, a couple of weeks at least, it has been very grey, very dark.
Really?
Yeah, so you're very lucky.
I'm lucky.
But it has been kind of dark and grey the last couple of weeks. But how do you like it? I mean, are you more of a night owl? Do you like being out late, or do you like to go to bed early and then wake up early? What do you prefer?
No, I am awake in the night and hoping and wishing I was asleep in the day. Yeah, I'm definitely a night owl.
Yeah.
Go to sleep very late. Yeah.
Is that a good thing when you're you and making music and doing concerts?
When I'm in the studio is a good thing because you just can carry on going throughout the whole night. But when I have to do like interviews and stuff, it's not good and photo shoots, which always start early in the morning, and I'm like, why? Why?
Yeah, that's a strange decision.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to talking with you. And you're here because you have a new single out called Birthday.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that. And congratulations with the single.
Thank you.
But we haven't met before. I've actually talked with you on your phone, on the phone at one time. But we haven't met before.
No.
So I thought, how can I get to know you and our listeners can get to know you a little better? And I came up with a game.
Yes.
So you have to imagine that you have a backpack.
Okay.
And in that backpack, there can only be 5 items.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to decide what's going into that backpack.
Okay.
You cool with that?
Yes.
Okay. The first item that goes into the backpack is the newest item you've got, you bought.
I bought some hair clips, but like really pink ones, not normal, boring. You know, like this?
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
They're very big pink hair clips. Everything is pink at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
I can see that because we're doing radio, you can see it, but you're sitting in a pink jacket and your hair is kind of pink.
Pink, yeah. Everything pink.
How long have you been pink? We can say that.
Since the song came out, since this single came out, I just turned pink.
Yeah.
My whole life.
But does that do anything to you? Because I could imagine I'm a guy, so I mean, when you go into a clothes store, there isn't that many colors actually.
I know.
But I could imagine that if you were wearing a lot of colors, it would impact your view and your self-esteem and everything.
Yes. I think as soon as I dyed my hair pink, I was way happier.
Nice. And you look awesome.
Thank you.
But that was the first item. That was the hair clips.
Yes.
If you have to bring a gift that you got from a fan.
I have this stamp that they gave me of my name in Korean. So I just bring that around with me so I can just stamp people with my name.
Oh, that's cool. But like written with another language, like a Korean?
Yes, yeah.
Does that look good?
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Looks better.
Yeah.
Than Amory.
Could imagine. That was the next item. What's the item you've owned the longest?
Probably my headphones.
Hmm?
Yeah. I can't go anywhere without my headphones, so they have to be in there.
But is that the same headphones, or is it like you're throwing them away and forgetting them all the time?
I have had the same headphones for about 4 years.
Oh, that must be kind of a record because everybody throws them away. How do you do the so they doesn't disappear?
No, luckily, for some reason, I think it's because they're silver and really bright, so I can't not see them. But yeah, it makes me think they must be a little bit dirty.
Perhaps.
I think I might get some new ones after this conversation.
And the next item is a lock charm, if you have one of those, a lock charm.
A lucky charm.
A lock charm, yeah. That sounded like it could be the headphones, kind of.
Yeah, a lucky charm. I don't know.
You don't have any?
I don't even think I have a lucky charm. No. That's weird, isn't it?
Nah, that depends if you are like that kind of superstitious in any way.
I don't have a lucky charm, but I do feel like I'm a bit OCD, so I have to have things like in order.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't have a lucky charm, which is strange.
You can get that at some point. You can get it from this radio station. We have a coffee mugs and everything. You can just get that. And the last thing, which actually gets back to the birthday theme, is if you should bring a present for another person, who would that person be? And what would that present be?
Well, I think I'd give a present to Ed Sheeran because he loves gifts. And I did actually ask him once what he'd like, and he said for me to draw him. So I think I'd try and draw Ed Sheeran and then give him the picture. Not sure if he'll keep it or not, or burn it.
Oh, but that's nice. And I actually read somewhere, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Anne-Marie, that you got a birthday present at one point from Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And you can talk about it in the radio.
No.
Yeah, you can talk about it.
Oh, no. It's a very big thing.
Why did he? We can start there. Why did he bring a birthday present to you?
Do you know what? He always wants to surprise people and be and not be figured out. And we were on tour at this time, and it was my birthday whilst we're on tour. And he was like, "I've got your present. You're never ever gonna guess it." And I guessed it straight away because I just knew what he was like. And he was so sad. But yeah, I knew it. I just knew what he... Oh, God, yeah, that was... I don't know where it is right now.
No. Can you say what it is?
It is a big... It is the biggest dildo that you can find anywhere. He made his security guard go out and get it, though, because that would have been quite weird, Ed Sheeran going out and getting that. But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like... They're like one of those presents that you get where it can be kind of strange to open it in front of people. I have that fear when I have a birthday and if I have a party. I fear that some of my friends, they bring something where it's just so
rubbish.
Awkward.
Yes, I know. Same here. This is the same at Christmas as well.
Mm.
It is. I hate opening presents in front of people, but he actually dragged me into a little room. So he was embarrassed also. We were both embarrassed, but he still wanted to do it.
Oh, that's so funny. Anne-Marie, you're here because you have a single. It's called Birthday, and we are going to listen to that in a moment. But first, I have to talk a little about how you began, because I read about you, and you began doing music theatre at an early age.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started doing that?
I got my first show when I was 5 years old.
That's early.
That is young.
Does that mean, because sometimes when you start at that age, you have parents or you have a family that is already into that?
No, my mum and dad not into the music industry at all. They were just, my mum's a teacher, my dad's a builder. So I don't know how this came about. My sister went to a dance school, and I think because my sister was older than me, I wanted to do everything that she did.
Mm.
So I was in an agency and I just went for an audition. But it's crazy because when I was 5 years old, I felt really old and I was like, yes, I know what I want, yes. But then when I think back and now that my godson is now seven, I'm like, wow, you are young. So I was really young when I started doing musical theatre. But yeah, that's what happened. And I got in the first show and then I just didn't stop. I kept auditioning and doing more shows.
But at that age, you wanted to do musical theatre.
Yeah.
So what happened? Because now you're not doing musical theatre.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did that change?
It changed when I went to college, actually, because I went to college to study performing arts, so I was still thinking about going into musical theatre. And I actually met a songwriter, and that changed my whole my life plan, because it almost just took my love for songwriting way above the performing of musical theatre, because I was myself. When I was writing my own music, I was Anne Marie, and when I was in musical theatre, I was another character. So I kind of loved that I was being myself when I was writing my own music. So that kind of took over.
So do you see yourself more as a songwriter than a performer?
No, I think equally both. To be honest, I felt like more of a performer than a songwriter ever. But now I feel like it's equal. Like I've finally felt really good about writing music now. So yeah.
And you do some great pop songs. We've been playing a lot of the songs you've made on this radio station. And last time we talked, we actually also talked about, just keeping it with the theme of the musical stage performance, you did a version of Rewrite the Stars with James Arthur.
Yeah.
Does that ignite some kind of fire in you? Do you ever think about going back to do some kind of stage performance like Broadway or West End show?
Yeah, it did, to be honest. When I listened to that soundtrack of the whole video.
The Greatest Showman soundtrack, yeah.
I fell in love with it so much, and I never would have dreamed that I would be singing a new remake of it. And I did feel in the studio that it did remind me of why I loved musical theatre so much. But I think it was hard because my voice has changed so much. It's like not classically trained anymore, and it's very deep. So the high notes were hard. But I was expecting the producers to come back and say, oh, can you just do that bit again? But they didn't ask me to change anything. So I thought, well, maybe I can do this still.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
But is it a dream of you to do some kind of big West End or Broadway performance?
I would say maybe in the future.
Okay.
Not right now, yeah.
Yeah.
I like doing my own thing at the moment. But I love going to see musical theatre all the time.
Did you see Cats?
No. I've seen the musical Cats, but not the video.
No, everybody knows about the movie Cats that got kind of a criticism for the stuff that was in it, but I haven't seen it, perhaps you've
seen it. I haven't seen it, no.
Okay.
No.
That's another time then.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie, you're here because of your single birthday, and you were just at the Brit Awards here in February, and you took a picture with Harry Styles, I saw.
Yes.
And when I saw that, I came to think of, how is it for you, because you are a well-known singer and songwriter, how is it for you if you meet other people that are well-known, but you don't know them, to get a picture with them? Is it more awkward because you're also well-known, or is it less awkward?
The picture is always awkward, like no matter who it is. I feel like pictures are always awkward to ask for. But when we met, we were on literally the table next to each other, and yeah, it was strange because I've met a lot of people in the music industry, but not Harry Styles.
No.
So when it finally happened, he was so lovely, and he reminded me a lot of Ed Sheeran and why we me and Ed get on, because he's so down to earth and great. And Harry was exactly the same. But yeah, it kind of just was like, oh, your performance was really good. Should we have a photo?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And then we had a photo, and then yeah, it was awkward, and then we said bye.
How was the Brits Awards?
It was really good, actually. I loved it. I think that I really enjoyed every performance. Mm. It was cool to see people not necessarily performing their hits that people knew them for, and them just experimenting with maybe the album songs or songs that they felt really strongly about, and I really loved that.
Yeah, I've actually heard you in another interview talking about that you like the album tracks, not the singles.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, why is that?
I feel like people have no boundaries when it comes to album tracks. I mean, I'm not sure. I think when I was growing up, you could tell the difference between a single for the radio and an album track. Whereas now, I don't think so much. I think everything sounds like a single on an album. But for me, when I was younger, I think I'd listened to the single so much on the radio that I always used to skip those ones on the album and just listen to the album tracks. So I just feel like people just go a little bit deeper with the album tracks, and that's what I like listening to.
So is it more difficult nowadays with like Spotify and the way we listen to music? Is it more difficult to get that kind of music that's not the singles, not the obvious hits? Is it more difficult to get that made?
Yeah, I think that your mindset going to make an album in these days at the moment is you need to write a single for every song on the album. But for me, I just rebel. And I think you can hear that in my first album. I really tried to explore other subjects and talk about other stuff that you wouldn't necessarily hear on the radio. So I will always do that. I'll always try and add my little deep ones in there that wouldn't necessarily be played on the radio, but just they're the ones that mean a lot.
And we're going to talk about the new album, I guess that's coming, perhaps?
Yeah, yep. Of course it is.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that after a short break. And first, we're going to listen to a track that I like a lot, which is perfect to me. And here it comes.
Don't feel like putting makeup on my cheeks. Do what I want. Love every single part of my body. Top to the bottom. I'm not a supermodel from a magazine. I'm okay with not being perfect, 'cause that's perfect to me. 'Cause that's perfect to me. 'Cause that's perfect to me. No matter where I go, everybody stares at me. Not into fancy clothes, I'm rocking baggy jeans. Getting too close for comfort, but comfort is what I need. So I eat my body weight in chocolate and ice cream. Maybe I bite my nails and don't think before I speak. Don't fit in any crowd, don't ever get much sleep. I wish my legs were bigger, bigger than New York City. Want to love, 'cause this love is gender free. Don't feel like putting makeup on my cheeks. Do what I wanna. Love every single part of my body, top to the bottom. I'm not a supermodel from a magazine. Nah, I'm okay with not being perfect, 'cause that's perfect to me. That's perfect to me. That's perfect to me. Sometimes I wake up late and don't even brush my teeth. Just wanna stuff my face with leftover mac and cheese. You know I get depressed. Are you impressed with my honesty? Still I wear what I wanna, 'cause I'm cool with what's underneath. I wanna kiss someone that I'll never see again. I wanna go somewhere and go there with all my friends. I wanna take my family to go and see Eminem. 'Cause my sister's been in love with him since like we were 10. Don't feel like putting makeup on my cheeks. Do what I want. Love every single part of my body. Top to the bottom. I'm not a supermodel from a magazine. I'm okay with not being perfect, 'cause that's perfect to me. That's perfect to me. That's perfect to me. Perfect to me.
Du lytter til Aftenklubben. Lyden af Danmark om aftenen på Nova.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through Geico, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.
Hos Agria er vi der altid for dig og dit dyr. Fra det første klap til det sidste kram. Med over 130 års erfaring kan du få råd og støtte døgnet rundt. Agria. Et mere ubekymret liv med dyr. Læs mere på agria.dk.
Jobindex undersøger. Læser du jobannoncer, selvom du har et job? Absolut da.
Jeg er lidt nysgerrig.
Bare for at se, hvad der rører sig.
Man læser jo lidt en gang imellem.
Man drømmer altid lidt. Også selvom man er glad for det, hvor man er.
Ja, det er da det, man gør. Drømmer du også, så gør som de fleste andre og tjek jobmulighederne løbende. Det starter på Jobindex.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova Podcast.
Here in the studio, I'm still visited by the very talented singer and songwriter Anne-Marie, who have made hits together with Ed Sheeran and Clean Bandit, and now she's out with a new single called Birthday. And we're going to listen to that in a moment, but first, good evening to you, Anne-Marie, again.
Good evening.
I just mentioned that perhaps there was an album on its way. I don't know anything.
Me neither. I'm joking.
How much do you know? How far are you in the process?
Every time I write new music and every time you hear new music, it is within a capacity of an album. So you always know that it's coming after you hear.
Why do you do that?
What, an album?
No, why do you have to think of it in the capacity of an album? You'd never do a single that's just a random single.
I know.
Why do you do that?
I'm not sure. I think it's because everything always connects to each other. Whenever I write for an album, it's in a period of time, and it kind of always makes sense to have it all on one thing rather than
like a theme.
Yeah, I guess so. I think it's really weird for me to just release a song that isn't involved in a bigger picture. And I do love it when people release singles that ain't on albums, but I haven't done that yet.
So can you talk about the theme of the album?
The theme is very, I guess it's still very, it's really hard to explain. The first album was very real and honest, and it's all about stuff that I was going through at the time, and like trying to overcome anxiety and all of this stuff that I was going through and heartbreak. And I guess I kind of, in the second album, I've kind of learnt from the first album, and I'm putting all of it into action in the second album. So it's much happier, yeah. I think. Yeah, you can hear that in the music.
And I didn't know, because I saw a lot of interviews with you where you seem so grounded and so nice and so happy. Mm. But you actually, as you said here, had anxiety. I don't know, do you still have it?
Yeah.
How does that then influence your everyday life, like being a musician and doing concerts and interacting with fans?
I think I'm in the weirdest situation ever because I don't think anyone expects someone who goes on stage in front of thousands of people to feel that way. So it is really hard because for a long time I was just pretending that everything was fine, and in actuality that was making it worse. So I went through like a really bad patch, which was just after the first album. So I was going through all of it in the first album, and then I went on tour, and then I was meeting everyone, and then it just really got to a bad point. So I think after that really bad point, that's when I really addressed it and kind of got some help, I think. And now it's finally starting to get better. But I always try and tell people to, like, if they have anxiety or if they have any inkling, like the tiniest feeling of it, please, like, go and speak to someone about it, because I let it get too bad. I let it get too bad before I got help. And I think that's never the right thing to do. No. Like, if I feel it now coming on, I'll go and see someone straight away or talk to someone or let it out. Whereas before, I bottled it up until it got really bad, and that wasn't good for my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just spoke with Julia Michaels, I think, a year ago or something like that. And she also have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some connection between being very open and very artistic and then have the emotions of that anxiety?
Yeah, I think it's actually really common because there's expectations of you as a human. And I think it's very stressful to live up to what people think you should be like. So that's what I think I struggled with. And I remember meeting Julia for the first time, And I didn't think that she doesn't come across nervous or come across that way. And she was really shaking backstage before we went to perform on a song we did. And I was, it confused me so much. And I just wanted to help her. But yeah, hopefully she's okay now or getting better. But yeah, I do think it's very common in artists because they give their whole life to everyone, and everyone has an expectation of them. Yeah. And that's what I think's the scariest.
But you're doing good and you're making great music, and it's a pleasure talking with you, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, yeah. And
we just talk about the album and the theme and all that, but do you feel like we have a way of saying in Denmark that is the follow-up is difficult? A sophomore slum, I think, is kind of the English or British version of that. Do you feel that pressure of doing the follow-up to an album that did that well?
I think my label feels the pressure. Okay. I didn't. No, I think the best thing about the first album is that no one knows anything and you can just do whatever you want and see what happens. Whereas it depends on the success of the first one, how successful the second one is in numbers, I guess. So for me, it never felt like that because I was just gonna, I don't really mind. No. I was just having fun.
You like the challenge.
Yeah, I love challenge.
Oh, that's great. And the new single, Birthday, you're here and we're going to play it.
Yes.
And what's it about? I mean, I guess it's about birthdays.
Yeah, it's about Christmas. No, I love birthdays so much. Yeah. It's my favorite thing ever. Favorite thing to celebrate. I love spending my birthdays with my friends. And I just always wanted to have a birthday song. And in this song, I explain my perfect birthday, doing what I like, eating whatever I want and not feeling bad about it.
Is that how you celebrate your birthday then? Is it the perfect? Is it actually how you do it in real life?
Absolutely. Okay. I think we should do this birthday every day.
I was kind of jealous and I agree with you. I'm kind of jealous because I have the worst day. The date of my birthday.
What is it?
Try to guess. What do you think is the worst day to have a
Christmas?
No, it's not Christmas.
April Fool's Day. April
no, but 1st? That's bad. Okay, have second worst day.
Halloween.
No. Okay, I can say it. The 1st of January.
Oh,
that is like the worst day because in the beginning when I was younger and I didn't party, you know, friends came over. Now nothing happens.
Oh no, because everyone's hungover.
Myself included.
My dad's birthday is a 3rd and he hates that birthday, so I can, but my friend's birthday is on Christmas Day. There's terrible birthday days out there.
Do you think if you have a bad birthday, the date of it, do you think you should change it to when you grow up? Because I've thought about that. Just say, okay, I have the 5th of May or something like that.
Yep. I would.
You would.
I would absolutely do that. Yeah.
I take that advice. Perhaps I'll do that. What do you wish for yourself for this birthday?
This birthday for me is going to be really cool because my sister's birthday is the day after mine. And we used to celebrate it together all the time. But this year, well, from like maybe 5 years ago, we stopped celebrating it together because I was away and on tour. And this year is going to be the first time we've spent it together again, which is going to be so cool. So we're celebrating it with all our friends. It's going to be lovely. But I was a bit annoyed when I was younger because my birthday only lasted one day and she got to take the attention away the day after and have the rest of the week as her birthday. So she annoyed me a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
It sucks.
But now every time you listen to this song, Birthday, in the radio, it is kind of your birthday, you can say
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one up on my sister now. Yeah. I got a song about it.
I think we should listen to the song. Yes. And Anne-Marie, it was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. I'm another year older. I won't cry about you anymore. Told my friends to come over to dye my hair. It's not even the weekend, and I'm wearing that dress I can't afford. Giving life a new meaning without you there. Do some stupid shit, maybe get a tattoo. Whatever I can do to get my mind off you. I'm a birthday, everybody love me.
Tidligere udsendelse? Hop ind på radioplay.dk, så kan du høre alle udsendelser som podcast.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova.